for our Sunday night program. The rest of you find the book of Mark, St. Mark chapter 5. What did we talk about last Wednesday? Anybody remember? Gift of grace, Rahab. What was Rahab? Young Satan church. Prostitute. Yes. Why are you, all you guys smiling when you say that? And I'm like, prostitute. We talked about the gift of grace, and we're doing a three-part series. Last week was part one. Talked about three different people that the gift of grace came to, outcast, that by human standards either didn't deserve the grace of God or couldn't receive the grace of God for whatever reason. So last Wednesday, we talked about Rahab and Joshua and how she saved the spies and how God blessed her and showed her favor. And she's even mentioned in Hebrews in the Hero of Faith chapter. And we also talked about how Rahab was part of the Messianic line, the Boaz line and the Jesus line. Now go figure that. How's a prostitute in the same line as Jesus? As mom has said many times, your family does matter. And that is really true. In your family, there are many dynamics, good and bad, but it connects us, that's for sure. And God took Rahab and preserved her and gave her grace. So tonight, we're going to talk about a second person that the gift of grace came to. Gift. Is that Cyrene? Yeah, we're all still here. I'm a little nervous. I really thought Bill would make it. Guess not. We're going to talk about the second person in Mark 5. And this is the story of the demonic man. The man that was possessed with many demons that society had given up on. They had threw away the key pretty much. They put him in a place where he couldn't hurt anybody, even hurt himself really, I mean, to a degree. And he was an outcast to society. So we're going to get started. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, the gift of grace. They came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the guardians. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now let me tell you a little background of where he was. They had took this man, put him out of the city, off to himself, in a graveyard is where he was really living. And the Bible talks about here in a minute, they even had to chain him because of his violence. He was a very violent person. And in Matthew 8, it talks about how people were even afraid to walk near where he lived out of fear for their lives. He was violent. So violent, he would break chains off his hands because he was demon-possessed. Now, to me, this story is really, really neat in this sense. Here's a man who was demon-possessed, who was violent, who was crazy, who was a lunatic, who was an outcast, who was considered unclean. And here comes Jesus to approach this man. How many times do we let little things in other people's lives affect how we treat them? Nothing near severe as this guy. We just don't like their personality. Or we don't like how they look. Or we don't like what they've done. We don't like who they are. And so we show them no mercy. We show them no grace. We walk in our way and we avoid them like they're the plague. Whenever they're crying out for someone to touch them and someone to speak to them, someone to love them. I say this all the time. We are part of one body, but we are individual parts in that body. And all of us have something to do in the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we can't all be eyes. We can't all be ears. We can't all be hands. You know, each one of our body parts means something to us. If somebody says you won't lose a hand or a foot, what am I going to say? Neither. You want to lose a finger or a toe? Neither. You want to lose an ear or, you know, part of your nose? Neither. I need all of it. I want both my eyes. I want both my ears. I want my hands, my feet, my fingers, my toes. All of them provide a different purpose, and all of them work together that I have a functioning body. Spiritually speaking, each one of us have different gifts. Maybe you're not a pulpit preacher on a platform in front of people. But God's gifted you with other things and other ways of how you can reach God, reach people for God in your way. He placed you in those positions, and are we using that the right way? So when I see this demonic man who's an outcast, nobody could, you know, and I understand this. He was dangerous. He was violent. He was a lunatic. I get that. But I'm thankful that Jesus passed my way. Aren't you glad he passed your way? Because all of us were born in sin. All of us without Christ would have no hope. All of us will be lost without him, no matter what we've done or where we've been. We can't categorize big sins, little sins. We all were born in sin, period. And the remedy had to be cured, and the only remedy for that was the blood of Jesus. So here's this demonic man. Here's Jesus approaching him. I love, you know, the song that Manly sung for years, Mercy Came Running. Jesus came to this man. Jesus was the proactive one. Teaches us that we should be proactive. You know, sometimes we say, well, God, if it's your will, let this happen. If it's your will, da, da, da. Sometimes we're the ones that must step out and be proactive and be the ones that say, I'm going to go to where you're at. I'm not going to wait for you to come to where I'm at. I see a need. I see a struggle. And I want to be a part of trying to bring help and hope to you, whatever way that is. Jesus was always proactive, going to those who needed him. Verse 3. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was actually hurting himself. He was so possessed with unclean spirits. People that don't believe in a spiritual world have no understanding. There are people that do things because they are being controlled by something more than themselves. These spirits, these demons get inside of us, and they function inside of us, and they cause us to do things we would never do with a sober mind. This man was just like any of us, really. He was a man that needed deliverance, a person that needed healing, a person that needed hope, a person that needed Jesus, just like we do. He was out of control. No one could tame him. Broke his chains. He was an outcast. He's cutting himself in the graveyard. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Why would this demon-possessed man, when you think about this, do you think about demon-possessed people wanting to worship Jesus? You think about it being opposite, don't you? The reason he worshiped Jesus is every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is Lord. They had to bow. They recognized the authority over them in their lives. And they had to surrender. It wasn't even a choice. They were under the authority of God Almighty. So here's this demonic man worshiping Jesus. And he cried with a loud voice, says, what have I to do with you, Jesus? Knew who he was. Thou Son of the Most High God. Here's the demon-possessed man actually acknowledging him as Lord and King of Kings. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said to him, come out of this man, thou unclean spirit. Here it comes. Grace being delivered to this possessed man. I'm not going to the ones that are sane and got it all together and looked the part and walked the part and talked the part and act the part. I'm coming to you, Mr. Demon-possessed man. I'm coming to you because this is where God has sent me, to set you free. To set the captives free is what Jesus came. He told his disciples, go out, lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, cast out what? Devils. Cast them out. There is authority in Christ for every demon to be cast out and to flee the vessel of humanity. It has to, by the name of Jesus. He came to cast this unclean spirit out of this man and set him free. He asked him, what is your name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Legion was several thousand, up to 10,000 or more was considered a legion as far as military purposes. So he was, not many had that many demons, but he was possessed by many, many, multiple demons. We besought him much that he would not send them out. And he besought him much, the demon man talked to Jesus, not to send him out of that country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine, pigs, that were feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, send us in the swine that we may enter into them. You do a little studying on this. You say, why would they be asked to be sent to the pigs? Because it was better to go to the pigs than to go to the final abyss of where they were going to be sentenced to. They knew what their final sentence was. So send us to the pigs versus the final abyss of our damnation. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Don't you love that? Gave them leave. When a military officer comes in and tells someone to stand at attention, they stand at attention until the military officer gives them leave, right? Until he says, at ease. I give you permission now to stand down. Jesus gave them permission to leave that man and to go into the swine. He gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 swine, pigs, that drowned in the sea. Imagine that scene happening. We've heard of cattle running on the loose, right? Stampede. 2,000 pigs, all of a sudden, running off a cliff into the water, drowning. Where Jesus, the Most High God, says, I came to give you grace. I came to give your life help and hope. We don't know how old this man was. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Don't know if he had this most of his life. Don't know if he had problems little. Don't know if this happened later. We really don't know. Just know that he was an outcast. And now God is casting out the demons in his life. And these 2,000 pigs went to the water and drowned, carrying those demons. Legion was now gone out of the man. And verse 14, and they that fed the pigs fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. By being clothed, this tells us he probably was naked or stripped down to almost nothing out there, like a barbarian. Now he's fully clothed, looks proper on the outside, and he's in his right mind. And people knew this was the same one. And they were afraid. What's just happened? Is it voodoo? Is it sorcery? Is it the devil's work? Is it God's work? What is it? It's amazing how when we don't understand something, we're afraid of it. You know, one of Melanie's biggest fears, and Melanie's a great handyman, and I love her for it. Yeah, she's handy, man. And she's great. But one thing she will not touch, one thing she won't even attempt to touch, we would stay in the dark the rest of our lives before she would touch it, is electricity. Melanie will do nothing with outlets or wiring or light. I mean, she freaks out if there's a wire exposed. She will not touch it. I know. And because Melanie doesn't understand electricity, not everything you touch shocks you and kills you. Not everything. Some things, not everything. She avoids all of it. When we are unsure of something, we seem to be afraid of it, don't we? Not everything we're unsure of, we should be afraid of. You know what we should do? Learn about it and figure it out. When it comes to spiritual things, that's why there's so many different break-off denominations and church teachings and church beliefs, and we worship on Saturday, worship on Sunday, you know. We don't worship at all. We raise our hands, don't raise our hands. We shout, don't shout, you know. We clap, don't clap. New music, old music, pews, chairs, carpet, tile, brick, wood. I mean, everything, just everything. Everything's been so divided up differently because there's some things people don't understand and can't explain, so they just don't deal with it. They just avoid it, you know, or they're afraid to try to find out what the truth is. These people were afraid. What's just happened? Man, I see. We all know someone in our lives, probably through our history. We've known someone who was a little cuckoo. We've known someone who wasn't all there. We've known someone who the elevator did not go to the top floor. Or as Ernest T. Bass said on the Andy Griffith thing I seen, it wasn't real, it just happened on Facebook. You know, we've all had that person, you know, where the cornbread ain't baked all the way in the middle. All right, we know that. We've all been there. We know someone. Some of y'all are sitting here tonight, Doc. We know. Just playing, Doc. We love you. You got your hearing aid in tonight. We have those people we know. And think about someone you know your whole life who's been that way. And now they're in their right mind. You're completely normal. Whatever your normal is. You're completely normal. Oh, my gosh. What has happened to you? Jesus happened to him. The power of God happened to him. Grace came to him. Grace and mercy of God, this beautiful gift of grace that came 2,000 years ago for mankind, came to this demonic man. Why would he go to such a person? I mean, he was an outcast. Nobody wanted him. Everybody was afraid of him. Why did Jesus always seem to go to the bad people? We see it all in the Bible, right? I mean, we could name more probably bad people than good people Jesus went to. You know, Mary Magdalene and the thief on the cross and, you know, all kinds of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and all these people, the Samaritan woman. It goes on and on of who Jesus went to, his grace touching the outcast, this gift of grace reaching and rescuing those who were lost and undone, who needed hope that mankind had signed off on, saying they're not worth it. Oh, yes, they're worth it, because I died for him too. I died for the demon-possessed man. I died for the prostitute. I died for the adulterer. I died for the thief on the cross. I died for humanity. Not a piece of it, not a part of it, not a selective group of it. I died for all mankind. Kind, past, present, and future, every tongue, every language, every nation, every color, every creed, I died for humanity. And he came to this demonic man when nobody else could touch him. And with one sentence out of the mouth of our Messiah, the unclean spirits were cast out. And his day changed in a heartbeat. His day changed. Imagine his response of how Jesus changed his life. Verse 16, when they saw it, told how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, they begin to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now, we probably, a lot of people, you do some studying on this, many scholars, teachings believe that the reason they asked Jesus to leave was because he killed 2,000 of their livestock. Understand, this was 2,000 pigs. They lost everything. Whoever owned those pigs, owners or owner, whoever, however it was, they lost all of that money. So were people more concerned about their personal gain, or were they more concerned about the gain of the kingdom of God and what God had done? I think sometimes we miss the big picture because we're focused on us and not what God is doing. What God is doing. Why would you ask? Think about this, man. Why would you ask Jesus to get out when he just delivered a person you were afraid to walk by down the street? Here's a man that's been now welcomed back into society as a functioning person with a sane mind, and the power of God, where no man could tame him, the Bible says. He broke fetters and chains. He was violent. He was possessed. And here, he's a normal, clothed, sane man. And they're asking Jesus, the one that did that, to leave. Like I say all the time, some folks want enough of God or the Holy Spirit just to feel okay, but not to be changed. We talked Sunday morning, if you were here, and it was a beautiful service Sunday morning, and the altar was beautiful with everybody up here Sunday morning. It was absolutely incredible as we were asking God to create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. That should be the main thing. God creating me a clean heart and a right spirit. And if I have a clean heart and a right spirit, the things that God's concerned for, I'm going to be concerned for. I'm not going to reach out to the ones that I'm comfortable with. I'm going to reach out to the outcast that nobody wants, because that's what Christ did. You know, I still go back to Joe Brown, and I'll use examples long, probably forever, because it just so impressed me that Joe Brown, here's Joe Brown, this kind of gruff Ohioan. He's in Best Buy one day, you know, and this has been 15 years ago. So Joe was already, you know, he was already a senior citizen. And he's in Best Buy, and this young David Messick's over there, and this young 21-year-old with pierced ears and the regular look of that generation. And Joe Brown gets talking to David, reaches out to him, gets talking to him about this, that, one thing led another, talking about church. Guess he told Joe, just move to the area, you know, blah, blah, blah. Joe invites him to our church. They came, and for many years, part of this church, they moved back to Kansas City. In fact, David stopped in, he came into Statesville. He came about 3 weeks ago, passing through to Virginia on a business trip, and we had lunch. He called me and said, let's meet for lunch. We met up here at Arby's, and Melon came too, and had a great talk. He's got 4 kids now. He had 0 when he was here. I'm like, great, you come here and you go multiply some other church. Okay, I see how it works. But Joe reached out. Now, church, I want to put it in context. Some of you in here are in your 60s. Joe was probably in his early 60s when that happened. 60, 62, 60, around 60 probably. I want you to think about this. How many of you 60-year-olds in here look at a young 21-year-old guy pierced up? And I don't know if you have any tattoos. Dave, you have any tattoos? He does now. I don't know if he did then or not. He does. He had tattoos. How many of you would just reach out and start talking to this young man and inviting him to church? Man, Joe was hip. That was cool. Joe reaching out to the millennials. He's not millennial. He probably is a millennial. Millennial generation. We got to look beyond. And David and Tori were beautiful, wonderful people. It wasn't that Dave was a hellion. He wasn't. But for Joe to reach out to someone that looked like an average young person in that generation and to start talking and invite to church. Joe, that seed, man, you know, you sowed a seed in their lives. And they're very involved in their church in Kansas City. Very involved. All their kids are involved. And they're still serving God. That's what God called us to do. Offer this gift of grace, not because they look like you, but because that's who God is leading you to. God reaches out to whoever needs him, regardless of what we think or not. And God may send you to someone that you're not, you're like, really, God? It's okay. It's a reason God is calling you to that person. He's using you to reach that person's life. Verse 18. When he was coming to the ship that he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with Jesus. Who wouldn't? I mean, you set me free, you know. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him, says no unto him. Go home, go to your friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on you. That's what grace is. It's God's compassion. We don't deserve God's grace. None of us do. Even after we're saved, we act like idiots. We don't serve God the way we should as Christians. None of us do. But grace and compassion came to us and realized and rescued us and realized we couldn't walk this journey. We couldn't fulfill this. We couldn't do it alone. We needed help. And he came and gave us that help. That's what grace is. It's the compassionate gift of God to us. That's why it says it's a gift of God, lest any man boast. We cannot boast about our holiness with God. We can't boast about what we've done and what we've been. We just can't boast about it because none of us could do that without God's grace. You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, and they made a good point. They were talking to this young person. And they were talking about, they said they kept using the word entitled. Well, I'm entitled to this. And they said, no, you're not entitled to nothing. You're not entitled to your next breath. You're not entitled to your next heartbeat. Think about that. We're not, church. I'm not entitled to get home tonight. It is by the grace and mercy of God I am what I am. It's only by His grace I'm alive. Only by His grace I get home tonight. Only by His grace I wake up in the morning. Only by His grace I walk, I see, I run, I jump. Only by His grace do I have anything in life. Only by His grace do I have shelter and transportation and clothes on my back and food to eat. Only by that grace. I'm not entitled to none of it. Doesn't matter how much good things we think we've done. We don't earn points with God. It's grace that He saved us and grace that He keeps us. And every day is a bonus. It really is, it's a bonus. I don't care how old you are. If you're 16, every day is a bonus. Because there's some 16-year-olds that don't make it to 17. There's some 3-year-olds that don't make it to 4 years old. Every day is a bonus and a gift from God. We see two lives that the grace of God came to. Two outcasts. A prostitute and a demon-possessed, violent, insane man. And this is who Jesus showed His compassion toward. And we as Christians must follow that same understanding and recognize my job as a Christian is to reach and preach and witness and love all. Not just the ones that I like, but all. Because I'm going to tell you, the people that are haters, the people that are ill and nasty and ugly to you, and the people that have this wall built up, there's a reason it's there. And that's when they need us the very most. Because I'm going to tell you something, there ain't nothing greater than love. Our sign on one side that Shirley put up this month says, true love was born in a stable. It truly was. True love. Because God's love is completely true. There is no false pretenses. There is no hypocrisy to it. There is no hidden gadgets or gimmicks. Man, God's love is true. God loves the true James Lewis, the idiotic, unrighteous, ugly, nasty, bad thoughts, bad husband, bad father, bad pastor, bad person, every failure, every flaw, every wrong thing. He loves me through all of that. Whereas Melanie may walk away one day, and she can't till at least July 19th. That's when Ashley turns 18. But Melly may walk away from me one day. But thank God, my parents may not be here one day. My children may not be here one day. People that around my life, there'll be a day and time I may not have them present with me. But God will always be with me. And I'm thankful that gift of grace doesn't leave. A prostitute and a demon-possessed man, the gift of grace came to them. Teaching us, reach out to those and let God do the rest. Because God's in the healing, delivering, cleaning up, loving, forgiving business. And that ain't going to ever change. Any comments tonight before we close out? Yes, Joe.